10 o'clock in the p.m. and you are listening to CFRC FM 101.9 FM in the terrestrial and at www.cfrc.ca, streaming live in the digital world, like Tron. And also, you can, you know, if you're not really down with this show as well, one of the great things about our website is because, you know, there's a lot of awesome shows on this station. So you can scope out something you prefer, and you can, like, go back and listen to episodes of that at the same time if this is not what you're feeling. But, you know, I hope you're feeling this. I am Weave, and I was feeling that. That was Yamataka Sonic Titan from their debut self-titled album, Reverse Crystal / Murder of a Spider. Prior to that, we had some Dead Meadow in there with Heaven. Just always, you know, one I always enjoy playing. Their first album, that was from their second album, Feathers. Their first album, Matador Records, put out those their first few albums. And the first album, they actually, in the biography for Feathers, you know, almost proudly proclaimed that Dead Meadow's first album was the lowest selling album in Matador history. But anyways, I digress. Prior to that, we had Arrows in there with Cage Warning, and we kicked it all off with a quadfecta of Winnipeg acts. We had the Extroverts in there with I Hate Kids. We had the classic, maybe first, I should not say from Winnipeg, they're from Saskatchewan, but you know, we had the Extroverts in there with Tactical Squad. We also had Greg McPherson in there with 1995, and kicked it all off with Propagandi from their new album, At Peace. Propagandi, who again are going to be coming in a few weeks to Kingston at the Broom Factory, September 15th to be exact, with Wax Mannequin and 47 Teeth opening the show. It's going to be a raucous affair, I believe. But also, and this is where we're going to get into this show, sort of my specialty thing. Now, there's a show coming up August 30th that's going to be at Hotel Wolf Island. It is going to be Bob Wiseman and Mike Boguski, who are going to be doing their Two Pianos No Rodeo tour, as you know, Bob Wiseman was the original keyboardist for said band, and Mike Boguski was the is the current one, and they're both going to be doing songs and improvisations solo kind of. Anyways, so I did this interview that I was asked to do. Now, normally I'm kind of like not really good with the interviews, as you can obviously tell by my on Mike demeanor. It's a tricky thing for me a little bit. But you know, I said, well, why not? And since I have about like 8 more shows after this to go, before I pack it in, I just decided, you know what? I'm going to air the whole interview unedited and, just see how it plays out. So, you know, what the hey. And you'll get to see why interviewing is not really in my wheelhouse particularly. So, you know, I don't think I'm going to be going to a podcast after I'm done here. But anyways, so we're going to play the whole interview. Then I'm going to play a Bob Wiseman song, and then we're just going to kind of take off from there. So the interview is about 15 minutes long, give or take. And then after the interview, we'll play some Bob Wiseman, like I said. There will be sort of a contest to get a couple tickets for the show, if you wish. But that'll be kind of like the contest details will come at the end of the interview. So if you're kind of interested in that, for this upcoming Saturday, just listen to the end of the interview, and you can call in here at CFRC if you want, or send me an email, or send CFRC an email. So let's just get right into it, shall we? So here is the Bob Wiseman interview that I conducted a couple weeks ago. All right, so I am here with Mr. Bob Wiseman. How are you doing, sir?
I'm good. I'm great. Thank you very much.
Awesome. So you are calling today, and we are discussing, well, maybe a couple of things, but the big thing is where you and Mike Boguski are together doing this Two Piano No Rodeo tour that's going to happen sort of in the next couple weeks and is going to end up here at Hotel Wolf Island on August 30th. You played there before?
No, I'm just old friends with Chris Brown, who I think books it or runs it or owns it or something. Maybe all of it.
Yeah, he's kind of like jack of all trades there. And he does actually have some really nice keyboards there, too. I really like. He was, like, impressed that I knew what a Wurlitzer was, that he had one set up. There. So he gave me an album. So how did this sort of, I guess the two of you were, you and Mike were introduced through a mutual acquaintance. Was this relatively recently or a few years ago?
He introduced himself to me years ago, and we played a memorial for a woman named Mimi. I can't think of her last name. She ran a restaurant in Toronto, and she was a massive Blue Rodeo fan. And she died, and they had like a memorial for her at the Horseshoe Tavern. And I played, and Blue Rodeo played, and a few other people played. And I met Mike, I think, more that night. And I've known him over the years here and there, just through email exchanges. And just, you know, whatever, a couple months ago he asked me, when I was playing next, that he wanted to come, and I said, "Well, do you want to just do some shows together?" And then I suggested we call it Two Pianos, No Rodeo, which most people think means that there were two pianos on the same time, like doing battle or something. But no, I just meant each of us doing a set of our songs, and that's that.
Oh, awesome! And so, with some of your shows, I'm just with the work musically is because I know, like with some of your shows, there's a visual component to some of it with the Super 8 films and things like that. Do you think any of that is going to kind of work its way into these shows?
No, it's just piano stuff. The last few years, especially the last 2 years, have been, maybe since COVID, I'm kind of on a roll in terms of the pleasure I'm having with studying the piano. So I'm transposing a lot of the songs that I wrote on the guitar in the past to the piano. And I've also been experimenting with a lot of different ways of playing than I have before in my life. It's sort of like in Star Trek, you know, when they turn to the computer and they go, "Computer Earl Grey." That's sort of like how I feel about these recent years with the YouTube universe that we're in. Like, I can put into YouTube all sorts of things, like, how did Errol Garner do this? You know, how did Art Tatum do that? How did Keith Jarrett do this? And I'll get back like 12 different people explaining how it works. One sec, I'm just doing an interview, so I got to just finish it. And so it's just positioned me to kind of have a different kind of, what word should I use? Frame of reference for how to get things done. So anyways, I'm just on a high of piano stuff. So I guess from my end, that's part of what I'm bringing to the, you know, both instrumentally and things that I sing to the show. By the way, Mike's last name is pronounced, just so you know, Baguski.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Correct people, so I'm used to. I hear people saying it wrong, and I think, "Oh, I'll save him the trouble of correcting you by letting you know."
So, is with this sort of piano work that you've been kind of focusing in on lately? Is it starting to sort of weed its way into sort of new songs, new material that you think might 100%. Be coming out in the next little bit?
100%. I'll do some of that as well, and I'm. I can't help but like as I experience different changes all my life, I mean, they end up coming out in whatever songs I'm writing too, for sure.
Mm-hmm. And because you were talking, and I have seen some of your posts related to sort of how, you know, technology in regards to songwriting and production and composition, how it's kind of, you know, some for the good, some for the bad. As somebody who's produced, you know, countless artists and stuff like that. Is there sort of like trying to find a balance where you're like, okay, some of this stuff helps immensely, when you're working on recording and writing and that, but at the same time, sort of taking the element out of sort of, I'm trying to think of the best way to word this here, the necessity of creativity, I guess.
Sorry, is what you're saying, does working with machines like kill creativity?
Not that it kills creativity, but that sometimes maybe having less can mean, you know, happy accidents, I guess.
Say it again. Can having less what?
Less options, I guess.
Can having less options make for happy accidents? I guess so.
Yeah. I don't know. I sometimes wondered, like somebody brought this up to me a bit ago, where and somebody who you've worked with before or played with, the late great Daniel Johnston, if the equipment was around and the availability back in the 80s when he was making those home cassettes, on one hand you could almost say would the quality would sort of the heart of it still be there, but at the same time if he had those options, would maybe the music had reached a broader audience, or maybe he would have heard it how he heard it in his head came out a little bit better. I don't know.
Do you work in any capacity at Queens?
No. I just do a radio show.
Because your question is a lot like, you know, people that I'm just finishing a PhD right now, and it just reminds me of how people go down those roads of theoretical thinking, because, you know, it's true that then the person probably wouldn't have done it. And if Bach had a synthesizer, he probably wouldn't have written the Well-Tempered Clavier, you know. And if Robert Johnson had pitch controls, like, maybe he wouldn't have bothered, you know, playing. I don't know. It doesn't really. It's kind of gobbledygook. Like it's true, I guess. But it also, we also don't know. We're also just like. It's like we might as well just be talking about how like cool it would be to be able to breathe underwater. Yeah, it would be.
Fair enough.
We can.
Fair enough. Now, also one of the other things that, like all the different mediums that you kind of deal with, I have been saw that you are working on a novel right now, or it's almost done.
I am. It is done, and I'm getting feedback right now from some friends before I submit it to my supervisor and my PhD committee. But if you don't mind, I'm just going to say one other thing about the direction. I think you were trying to go and asking about, like, you know, the influence of AI or, like, machines and creativity. And I think that, you know, there are lots of people that find it act frightened about it. And I think it's part of the... I don't know if I'm addressing where you were coming from or not, but it is an interesting point. And I think it's part of how we adapt to new technology is, like, usually a lot of us, maybe even most of us, are totally afraid of what it's going to disrupt, you know, because it's disruptive. But people are people and will, you know, like they... you know, they probably were upset with the telephone, you know, and they had like party lines between different houses, you know, and other, you know, like eventually everyone had their own phone. You know, they probably thought that radio was a threat at the beginning. Oh my God, you know, like everybody can hear it for free. Mm-hmm. But it settles in, you know, it's like the fantasies often are proven, don't come to fruition exactly the way people panic over stuff. And creativity is creativity, you know? So that's ultimately that's the most exciting commodity, is the work you do creative or not.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Absolutely. So I wanted to ask kind of about this one thing, but before we go, so I'm going to kind of relay this with a little bit of a story here. So one of the first times I ever listened to CFRC Queens Radio, about 1 a.m, I heard one of your songs. It was one of the first ones I ever heard on this station. And it was the song Have a Nice Day, which dealt with Daniel Christie and a lot of the, trying to think of the best way to word this, the very unsavory.
It was Douglas Christie.
Douglas Christie,
and
sorry.
He was a lawyer, and his clients were largely white supremacists and neo-Nazis and historical revisionists.
Right, right. And so it's sort of like bizarre because or unfortunate. So flash forward maybe like 30 years, we're now sort of entering this period where a lot of that really bad thought process is now sort of crept its way into mainstream culture again, where it's almost just a common thing. And it's like when you compose that song and you're thinking of these, you know, characters that did kind of reflecting on it, would you have thought like something like this would have come back that heavy?
So your question is, did you think this thing that you wrote 30 years ago about an issue like that that is among us again, or maybe even more concentrated, whether that would happen over time? And so I guess the short answer is yes. Mm-hmm. And the other part of that answer is I'm a Jew, and I know like the history of these things. So Doug Christie and all that stuff was not the beginning of it, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know what the what do they call it in screenplay writing? The initial incident. I don't know if it's 2000 BC or where specifically the hating Jews starts, but that, you know, that same kind of publicity surrounding the normalizing Jew hatred existed throughout Europe during World War II, specifically from Germany, but that sort of thing has manifestations everywhere, not just for Jews. All sorts of people have hated each other throughout history and hated all sorts of minorities. But to your question, part of why I wrote that song about Douglas Christie was because his defense was freedom of speech, and my thoughts when I first came upon him as a character and saw that he defended those people, my instincts at first were that he must be defending them because he identifies with them, because he agrees with them. But and that might be true. He died since, but it also might be sincere that his point was that it's about freedom of speech. And I also am a free speech advocate. I also do think that that's more radical and more valuable for the kind of intellectual advancement of all of us. So I thought, okay, if he thinks it's about free speech, then I have the freedom of speech to write a song insinuating that he's a loser. And so that's what I did. You know, I wrote a song about like crazy people calling him on his answering machine, asking him if he would defend them. And I tried to make it really clear to the listener, you know, like Randy Newman writing Short People, that it's like sarcasm, that like, you know, this person is, why they want you to defend them because you're nuts kind of thing. So I thought that allowed me to feel like I still could have my values of free speech and address what he's doing, whether it's because he was sympathetic to them or whether he was just a free speech absolutist. I never met the guy. So that's what was going on there for me. So, and no, I'm not, you know, it's part of the history of people, like the kind of polarization around issues and the kind of name-calling and discriminations and madness. You know, a lot of life, a lot of consciousness is, from my point of view, madness all the time, you know? Like, it fascinates me endlessly, you know, the kind of battle between trying to do things that you think are right and people doing things that are despicable.
Mm. All right. So, Bob, thank you very much for spending a little time here, and look forward to the show August 30th at Hotel Wolf Island, Two Pianos, No Rodeo. Thank you very much again for your time.
How about we give away a ticket?
Sure. We can probably do that.
So I think we need the first two people who call you and can identify who the lawyer was that I was just talking about.
Okay. Sounds good. Okay. That will be the plan.
Awesome.
All right. Thanks a lot, Bob.
Okay. You'll email me later and talk to me about who won, if anybody did.
I will. Absolutely.
Okay. And maybe I'll see you at that show.
That would be awesome.
Thanks.
All right. Okay, take care.
Ring, ring, ring. Hi, you've reached the answering machine of Douglas Christie, one-time head of the Western Canada Concept Party and lawyer for John Ross Taylor, accused of promoting racial hatred, lawyer for Malcolm Ross, accused of hate-mongering, lawyer for Ernst Zundel, accused of willfully spreading false news, lawyer for Amir Finta, accused Nazi war criminal, lawyer for Theron Scriba and Bill Harkus, the self-proclaimed head of the Manitoba Ku Klux Klan, that was accused of promoting hatred against blacks and Jews, advocating genocide, and the disruption of an anti-homophobic hotline. And lawyer for Jim Keekstra, who was accused of promoting hatred against Jews by teaching his high school students that the Holocaust was a hoax. I'm not in right now. So when you hear the last guitar chord, just leave me your message, and I'll be sure to get back to you. Have a nice day. Remember, wait for the chord. No Jews were gassed or starved to death or mutilated like mice in a test. Doug Christie, will you take my case and help me rewrite all of history's mistakes? No blacks were sold into slavery. They all left Africa voluntarily. Doug Christie, Doug Christie, will you take my case and help me rewrite all of history's mistakes? Tied up and fondled and by gangs of men raped. Doug Christie, Doug Christie, will you take my case and help me rewrite all of history's mistakes? Was no Hiroshima, Nagasaki too. Those people were actors paid by the Jews. Doug Christie, Doug Christie, will you take my case and help me erase all of history's mistakes? making shutters just shut up. There's no black or white, no change in the light, no night, no golden sun. The sound of cars, the smell of bars, the awful feeling of electric heat. Under fluorescent lights, there's sacrifice, there's hard feelings, there's pointless waste. Thank you.
except today. Many lights up this way. What is this road here? Where have I come? I am a rich man. I am a very rich man. I have good pants on, stitched and stitched. I am in stitches. I am laughing at you. I am in riches. I've written books for you. I held my own for you. Where is my tongue? I am no I am no more workhorse. I am no more workhorse. I am no more workhorse. I am a racing horse. I am a grazing horse. Thank you.
you found the one. And she knows just how you feel. And you say that she's for real. And she's fun. Well, that's all well and good. That's just the way it should be. Understand and be understood is to be free. So I think that you should go. Go on ahead. Take her in your arms.
It is.
Thelonious Monk, Ask Me Now, from the amazing Solo Monk album. Prior to that, we had some Neutral Milk Hotel in there. We had some Daniel Johnston. We also had some John Fahey with Requiem for John Hurt. We kicked us also a little Palace Music and Microphones, and started all off with Bob Wiseman, Have a Nice Day, which we talked about in our interview at the top of the hour, where he is playing on Hotel Wolf Island this Saturday, August 30th, as part of the Two Pianos No Rodeo Tour. So I am pretty much done for the evening, and Orchestral Maneuvers After Dark is going to be up in, you know, about five-esque minutes. And then, you know, after that, be sure to stay tuned to CFRC for all your campus and community listening needs. I will be back next week. I'm not really sure what I'm going to be kicking. I'm trying, with eight more shows to go, I'm trying to sort of, you know, get everything out that I possibly can. So, you know, long weekend, we'll see. Make it kind of a party atmosphere of some sort. I don't know. But anywho, thank you very much, everybody, for listening. Hope you all have a great week and a great night, you know, what's left of the weekend here. I am going to leave it with some Tom Waits, the 78 version, not 1978, but the, you know, the old school record speed 78, a version of Innocent When You Dream, from the Frank's Wild Years album, where there's like the two versions on the record. So I'm going to play the one that closes it out, and I find it a nice closer for this show. Anyways, thanks again, everybody. You have a great night. Take care. Stay safe. Bye for now.
You're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM.